So now, we have been in 1 Corinthians for a while. We talked about both books of the letters to the church in Corinth were about the supremacy of Christ and the preeminence of Christ, the centrality of the cross to his ministry. And so we are going to be in 1 Corinthians 3 as we talk about, as we said last week, we were talking about this binary experience we have in this world is you're either saved or you're not saved. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. You belong to God or you don't belong to God. It's all very simple. It's all very ones and zeros, as we say in the information age, right? And so we're going to find that in the Christian walk, as Suzanne was singing about that, I was thinking about how that's so true every day of our lives in the Christian walk, that it's another experience of God's grace, because we do fail on a regular basis, don't we? And so what we're talking about is those of us who are in Christ are either in a state of being a carnal Christian, as it says here in Corinthians, or a spirit-filled Christian. And it becomes very, very obvious which one it is if we're honest with ourselves. And by the way, other brothers and sisters can see it very clearly too. So when they come up, isn't that what Jesus said? If you see a brother who's fallen, right? If you see a brother that slipped, what are you supposed to do? Go and tell him. How do you know he slipped? Because you see it, right? And so there's a recipe for that. There's a process whereby we correct and encourage one another. And that's all part of this, is that when I slip into that carnal, that word carnal is kind of interesting. We lived in New Orleans for a couple of years while I was in seminary. Mardi Gras, what does that mean? Fat Tuesday. That's the literal translation. Mardi Gras, if there are those of you who speak French, you understand that. I think I said that right, huh? So why is it Fat Tuesday? Because Carnival, if you take that apart into the Latin language, it's talking about the end of flesh, if you want to say it that way. Because Fat Tuesday, it's kind of funny. You can do anything you want to. I mean, anything you want to, Mardi Gras, and people do. And we're not going to go any further with that. But at midnight, the street washers come through, and it's over. It is over. Why? Lent begins. And so you're supposed to be, you can, apparently, the concept is, if I get really wild and crazy on Tuesday, I can probably make it through Lent without doing too much. As far as I can tell, now nobody's ever told me that, but that's what I figure they're saying. Okay, let's get it all out of our system. Let me ask you a question: how's that work? Did it ever work for you? That's what I need to do: is do a lot of something and it'll get out of my system. No, I do a lot of something and I want a lot more. That's why it works for me. So anyway, Carnival or Mardi Gras and all that, it's about carnality, about the flesh. And I want to share this with you, and I wish I had a presentation on the screen I could share with you, but you're right, you can see this in your mind's eye. So I used to make a presentation where I would draw a circle, and in the middle of the circle I'd draw a cross, and around that circle I would draw just a number of dots, lots of little dots. And inside the circle, I have dots somewhere between that circle's line representation and the cross itself. You see, that circle represents that miraculous event where we became Christ's, where we were in Christ. That's the moment of salvation for us. And there are people that are outside that circle, and there are people that are inside that circle, and there are people that are on that circle. Now, the closer to Christ you get, closer to the cross you get, the more like Christ you become. It's so important that we catch this idea that what God is about is not so much about keeping us as we are, but making us what He meant us to be. So we were created in the image of God. Christ was given to restore that image and cover the sins of our lives so that we could indeed have fellowship with God. So the most important thing that we're talking about today is considering the consequences of carnal Christianity. Because the truth of the matter is, if I understand this correctly, all of us are at war with the flesh. Well, let me say this correctly. Every Christian should be at war with the flesh. You know, some people have come up to me and say, you know, Pastor Tim, or Brother Tim, I'm really struggling with so-and-so. I'm so glad to hear you're struggling. Because I know people who don't struggle with those things. We just run up the white flag and say, okay, what the heck? Wait a second. What does do this thing? Everybody else is doing it, right? Who else knows? Struggling, listen to me carefully. Struggling is the normal Christian life. Because when you got saved, you were lost in your sin. And then miraculously, you became a child of God. But the journey from that circle to the cross is filled with a struggle that I have with wanting to do my will or doing the will of God as I should. And so that's what we're talking about, the consequences of carnal Christianity. And it's not something that those other folks do, those other people. It's for all of us to be aware of. So let's go to chapter 2. You thought we were through the chapter 2, but not quite. Chapter 2, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Now, think about that for just a moment. The challenge there, he's saying, you have the mind of Christ, and yet in verse 3, saying, but you walk as men. If we have the mind of Christ, why then do we walk as men? Should we not be different than other men, those who have not been changed, those who do not have the mind of Christ? And the answer becomes pretty obvious, doesn't it? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ, which is Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we come with our praise indeed. We thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Holy Spirit. He's moving among us and magnifying, illuminating your word. We pray, Lord, you help us to apply your holy word to our hearts, that our lives will indeed reflect the glory, the grace, and the love of Christ. We pray in his holy name. Amen. So, the first thing that we need to see in terms of the consequences of carnal Christianity is the loss of fellowship with God. The loss a fellowship with God. When we see the angels in heaven, John tells us, what are they singing? Or saying, actually, they're saying what? Holy, holy, holy. Why? Why thrice holy? Because the Father is holy, the Son is holy, the Holy Spirit is holy. And so holy, we forget, I think, sometimes that the overriding characteristic of God Almighty that we can understand is His righteousness. And therefore, I mean, think about what we're saying is that He has given His Son, who is holy, on the cross, having made us in His holy image, and Adam and Eve decided to rebel fairly early on, and then Christ has reestablished that relationship by His very blood, and then what happened? He gave His Holy Spirit to indwell us, that we can have not only the mind of Christ, but the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. God Himself, you know, Paul was saying to the Corinthian church elsewhere, he said, do you not realize, because he's saying, you're not living like it, but do you not realize the Holy Spirit is in you? Your body is the temple of God Himself, the Holy Spirit. And so what is it that God calls you to that you cannot do? And the answer is nothing. The problem is, the Bible warns us, hinder not the Holy Spirit. Hinder not the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you remember Jesus Christ at one point crying out on the cross, Father, why have you forsaken me? Well, I want to take you to a place so that we understand. And if you don't have this noted in your Bible, you might want to consider it. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 20 because it pertains very closely to what we're talking about elsewhere today, but I'm also going to read verse 21 that is specifically what we need to remember regarding righteousness. So in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Reconciled, of course, means that you're in fellowship with God, that you are in alignment, that you agree with God. And how is that possible? In verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, and that would be Jesus Christ, so that we're very clear. So Christ, who knew no sin, became sin, if we read the rest of that verse, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Well, what happened at that moment, that the single moment in all of eternity when the Father and the Son were separated, was when Christ literally became sin in the eyes of God, because you and I have the sin of our lives paid on that cross. And so if we think about what happens with the Father and the Son being separated, being that their fellowship has been interrupted. God the Father and God the Son, their fellowship has been interrupted because of sin. Now, it was our sin, not His, but it's sin. Why? Because He is holy. He is righteous. And therefore, I know that that's one of those things that we kind of skim over a little bit, but the truth of the matter is, fellowship with a righteous God is predicated on our righteousness, so that the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us so that we can have fellowship with God the Father. Now, listen to me. People sometimes look kind of askance when I say, and listen, you have the righteousness of Christ. So in the eyes of God, you are just as righteous as the blood of Christ. And some folks kind of think about that a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, that is exactly the process, and that is exactly the magnitude of what we're saying. So his blood has made me, in the eyes of God, righteous enough to be his child. Right? And so this is cause for celebration, and we probably need to take very carefully that we were created in the image of God for fellowship. The great purpose of our lives. Have you ever think about that? What is it that I'm not throwing stones at anybody, please hear this. What is it we most often pray about? Nobody knows. Our health. I mean, I've been a pastor, or tried to be a pastor, for 30 whatever years now, and I'm telling you, folks want to pray about their health, their loved one's health, my health, there, and it's great. That's wonderful. And so they want to, let's pray about being healthy, and maybe let's pray about being happy or whatever. What does God want us to be? Holy. Holy. Now, when's the last time we seriously got down with God and say, in a serious matter of prayer for ourselves, for someone else, God, help us to be a holy, righteous people. Help me to be a holy, righteous man. What is it? Why is that important? Without that, there is no fellowship. Because until my sin has been covered by Christ's blood, until my confession and repentance of this sin is correct and complete, I don't have fellowship with God. And so I kind of put that right up front, because that's key to our lives. Because the purpose of our lives, the great purpose of our lives, is to be in fellowship with God. Now, when we're in fellowship with God, what's going to happen? We're going to be ministers of reconciliation. Isn't that what he said there? So we've been called to be ministers, to be part of the ministry of reconciliation. And the first 2 Corinthians 5. What is that? That's ministry. Well, what's the loss? One of the consequences of carnal Christianity is the loss of ministry. How do you know that? Well, if you're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says there in verse 3, "For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men," as we emphasized that while ago. And so, in other words, the carnality of Christians results in a loss of ministry. A loss of ministry. So I just said the great purpose of our lives is fellowship with God that results in ministry, because as you are walking with Christ, he is doing something in you that only God can do. And in that overflow, you become a blessing to others. You've never given an effective witness of Christ absent the Holy Spirit's power. I don't know anything about your lives, okay? I get it. I just know that it's not you and me that makes the witness possible, makes the witness powerful, makes the witness even present, right? It is the Holy Spirit within us that is testifying of who he always testifies, and that is Jesus Christ the Son. And so if I've hindered the Holy Spirit because of the sin in my life, my unconfessed sin, my carnality, ministry is over, done. Why? Is God mostly concerned about ministry from us? He's mostly concerned about fellowship. Let's get back to the basics. He loves us enough that he will not allow us to continue in a farce without having every reason to understand. Right? And so I'm going to share this with you, is that we need to watch and see if people are in the ministry, who's going to be glorified? Christ. Specifically, if it's a ministry that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, if it's been initiated by the Father, it will glorify the Son. It will all that will always happen. Otherwise, it's something else. And there are a lot of things that go on in buildings on Sunday morning and other places, and people call it what they want to call it. But if it's not for the glory of Christ, it's not ministry. It's not empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so that's how, just, I mean, because if you care about the ultimate purpose of our lives, the ultimate purpose of our lives is, of course, to be in fellowship with God, then these things need to be a little more closely observed, I believe. I think that's fair to say. I do want to say that the loss of ministry is evident because of division. What brings division in church? The Bible just taught us what brings division in church is spiritual immaturity. You know, I've grown up in Baptist churches for lo these many years, and I've seen people get in some serious disagreements about important things, like what? Color of the carpet. We gonna paint that wall. What are we gonna paint it? I don't know. I don't like that color. Folks, that sounds petty, doesn't it? Have you seen it? If you've been around Baptist churches long, I'm afraid, probably. And here, listen, Paul is saying, some of you are envying, some of you are in strife, some of you are bringing about this division because some of you want to lift me up, lift up Paul, lift up Apollos. It's about Jesus Christ. He is the master. He is the one who paid for the church. We belong to him. And when we lose sight of our relationship, if we lose the fellowship, we have lost the connection that keeps us grounded in the truth that this is not about me, it's about Jesus. And so we can, I've had some folks get upset about some things and come to find out it was just as petty as you can imagine. Because that's the way we've always done it, and you know, this, that, the other, whatever tradition I had violated or something. I said something that they thought was just completely out of line, and it had nothing to do with glorifying Christ. It's just that I have been offended by you. And we have people, I've seen them in churches where this family sits over here and that family sits over there, and don't let them go out the door at the same time. Right? I mean, some of you have seen these things, I'm sure. And listen to me carefully. All that is that they are babes in Christ. You know what babies need? They need milk, right? They need their diaper changed once in a while, right? We know babies. We've all had the privilege of being around babies a little bit. And they're just talking truth, right? Once in a while, a baby needs a spanking. I know we don't do that anymore. I mean, right? But the truth of the matter is, we have to be disciplined in some way, or we remain. You remember I talked to you about that circle? That's the babe in Christ, right there. Boom. Right there, right there on that circle represented in that graph is exactly what a babe in Christ is. And so, are they going to be like the world, or are they going to be like Christ? Well, they have the power to be like Christ, but they're still very much like the world. Why? Because they just got born. How are they going to get better? Well, it has to do with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit applying the Word of God to these hearts and lives of these babes. How long does it take? It takes as long as the Christian takes to obey. Because God will never deal with you about something over there until this step this step right here, the next step is taken. And so I beg people, please don't have something that's going to hinder the Holy Spirit. Don't have envying and strife within you. Don't have unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody. Don't be rejecting what God says about His grace. We are ministers of what? Reconciliation. Who are we supposed to be reconciling? God? No. God cannot change. Thank God. We have to change. And by the way, we need to be agents of change to help others see this is the way a Christian lives. This is a Christian walk. This is a Christian life. Something else goes on, and frankly, these days is more frequently seen, but the Bible says this is how a Christian walks. This is how a Christian lives. And there's very little talk about the idea of ministry, except in the Bible, strangely enough. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, he's talking about maturity of Christians. He's talked about the high priest Melchizedek in Hebrews chapter 5. In verse 12, it says something very important. Well, let's start with verse 11, okay? Let's start in verse 10 to make it even more simple. Okay, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Now, this is to the Jewish hearers, the Jewish believers. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk. Who's that? Babes. Have you ever heard of anybody backsliding? That's exactly what we old-fashioned Baptists call backsliding, and that's what they're doing there. But are become such as have need of milk, so and not of strong meat, because you know you're not capable of doing, not because of anything physical wrong, not anything intellectually wrong. It's because of a spiritual deficit. Listen, it's a spiritual deficit. You're not able to take in the meat that makes you strong in the Word, makes you strong in your understanding, makes you strong as a minister. Right? Having done all else, what is it? We stand. And folks who don't have a fellowship, are not in fellowship with Christ, who have not been taking in the meat of the Word, they're not going to be strong enough to stand in those days against what? The wiles of the devil. Do you hear? This is a spiritual warfare we're talking about, isn't it? That's what ministry is. And so it says there, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, there's great discernment that goes along with Christian maturity. And we are designed to become more and more mature as God gives us the opportunity. We take this step in obedience and this step in obedience. And the time it takes to take those steps can be 2 minutes, or it can be 70 years. Folks, I've seen Christian people who got saved and baptized at the age of 6 or 7 or something, and there they are at 80, and the difference is very hard to perceive. That is a shame, and it's a wasted life. We have only so much time. We have only so much time. So the consequences of carnal Christianity is that we lose fellowship. We lose the opportunity of ministry. And by the way, and most importantly, we lose an opportunity to glorify Christ. Look at verse 11 back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In other words, everything that Paul's saying here, he says, you know, Apollos, I have nothing against Apollos. He's doing a great job. And certainly I'm trying to do the best I can. But neither one of us matters. It's about recognizing who has saved us, who our Lord is, because he should be glorified. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to tell you, having been to seminary and having been to conventions and things, I see people who've forgotten that. I mean, religious folks can be just as wrong as anybody, right? And I've seen folks who were, quote, important preachers, and somebody was coming around and carrying their Bible for them. I don't know, he looked healthy enough, didn't have a broken arm or something. But they build entourages because these people think, well, he's so important. Listen to me carefully. Who's the most important person in the world to God? You are. There's nobody out of 8 billion people, no matter what their position politically or in government service, or there's nobody in this world more important to God than you are. There's nobody in this world that can do more for God than you can. Do you hear what I'm saying? All he's asked you is, will you be obedient? And if you're obedient, my Holy Spirit will move in a way that you and I cannot imagine. It is a miraculous event. It is a spiritual battle. And if it is to be won, if Christ is to be glorified, it's because we are obedient to him. And we are no longer carnal. We continue to study the word. If you continue my word, then will you be my disciples indeed. Isn't that what he said? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So every time I'm more and more faithful to Christ and more faithful to the word, I become stronger and stronger and a better instrument for him to use. There's nothing that limits my relationship with God other than myself. And when I'm in fellowship with God, my potential in ministry is unlimited. Please remember that. Let's pray together. Father, we come with our praise indeed. We thank you, Lord, for all the ways you've blessed us and you've called us, the great honor of being called into your ministry. Help us now, Lord, to be obedient as the Holy Spirit has called us, for the glory of Christ. We pray in his holy name. Amen. This morning, as we have this opportunity, we're going to sing 483, The Savior is Waiting. And I pray that we can say that, as we sing that honestly, that the Savior is no longer waiting for our obedience, for our confession, our repentance. Because if the Lord has touched your heart with something that you need to confess and repent, this is the time to do that. If there's something that you need to make public, do so as the Lord leads you. But by all means, do not keep the Savior waiting. Let's stand together, sing 483. Let's stand together now.